Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to turn to the book of Jonah, chapter number 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Jonah chapter number 1. We begin reading at verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. And there he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I just want to talk to you this morning, what has been upon my heart for the last few days. I was driving back from Mississippi this past week, and this just kind of came to me, and I pulled it up on my phone and began to let the Bible app, whatever, whichever one it is, read to me for a little while. And some things kind of come to me. I meditated upon it a little while here today. I just want to bring it forth unto you this morning. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but we know a God that's able to help us today. Praise God. Let me talk to you this morning about the natural way of the natural man. Amen. The natural way of the natural man. Praise God. God of heaven, we sure need you here this morning. We need your presence. We need your spirit to minister to us, to move upon us. We need the Holy Ghost, oh God, to help us today. God, you know what you're doing. You know, God, the purpose of this. I pray, God, that you would bring understanding to us and that you would help us, Lord God, help us to be receptive to your word, responsive to your word, and to be doers of the word today. Lord Jesus, and we give you the praise and the glory and the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I told Brother Hunter this morning, I said, now my goal today is at least to preach until the restaurants open. And praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I told him, I said, we're definitely going to beat the Baptist there, but my goal is at least to preach until they open. And amen. Praise God. I know you have your doubts already. Not that I can't do it, but I was preaching for Brother Clark this past Sunday. Preaching for Brother Clark down in Mississippi this past Sunday, and he took me to a barbecue restaurant there, and individual that they are currently trying to win to God, and he's been to the church a few times. And so he was cutting down some trees at this man's house. They had a storm that had come through there and just tore up a bunch of stuff. And so he was cutting down some trees at this man's house. And he told the man, he said, you see those two bushes right there? And he's like, yeah. And he said, this tree was pushed down. It was leaning this way. And I guess it was in danger in the house or something. And so he said, what would you give me if I fell this tree right between those two bushes right there? And the guy said, you can't do it. And he said, well, you know what? We can at least try. What would you give me if I can put this tree right there between those two bushes? And the man said, I tell you what, I'll give you a free meal at the restaurant. And he's like, okay, it's a good deal. That's a deal. And so the man said, well, what are you going to give me if you don't? And he's like, I don't know. What do you want? He said, I want you to preach short on Sunday. He's like, all right, it's a deal. And so he said he wedged it and got it ready to roll and stuff. And then he started making that final cut. And sure enough, that tree just swung down, slid right in between those two bushes. And the man was ecstatic about it. Well, not only did the man give him a free meal, he gave me my meal free too. And so then when they got there to preach, this was a couple of weeks ago, and so I asked Brother Clark, I said, well, did you preach short? He said, absolutely not. I preached a long time. Praise God. I'm going to endeavor not to do that today, but I just want to pull some things out of the scripture to help you see some things. And I was just praying about this last night, praying about it this morning, and I really feel like this is going to be important, not to just one or two people, but I feel like it'll be important to many, including myself as well. And there are so many things that are in Scripture that are there for our admonition and to help us, but there's so many things that we quickly read over, just trying to get a few chapters read a day or whatever. But as we take a look at this man by the name of Jonah, first of all, we know that he is a prophet. This is not the first time that he is spoken of. He is actually spoken of in the book of the Kings, and he is known for prophesying good unto the land. And but at this moment in time, the Lord comes unto Jonah, and he has a job for Jonah, and he tells Jonah to arise and to go to Nineveh, the great city, and to cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, this is very, very unique. This is very ironic, such, because Nineveh is a Gentile city. Nineveh is a Gentile city. And so they are used to just the people of God, and God basically cursing the people of God, working against the people of God. And I know the enemies of God, God has done these things. And but this is who that Nineveh is. Nineveh has created havoc for Jerusalem for some time. They have attacked Jerusalem. And so here we find a man that is visited by God and says, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to cry against that city, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now, the mentality of Jonah, and this is where we are getting into the natural way of the natural man, because that we know that the spiritual man is, the spiritual mind is enmity against God, and that the spiritual ways are not in man to follow those ways. We'll get into a little bit of that here this morning. But what we have here is a man that harbors some anger. He harbors some bitterness. He harbors some anxieties. He harbors some ill will, some ill feelings towards this city called Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerhouse, just as Egypt and just as Babylon were and had been, and even Jerusalem. And so here is a man that thinks that he understands God. And in his small, minute ways of being able to comprehend the mind of God, the ways of God, the things of God, he decides, and if I could read to you from Jonah chapter number 4 and verse number 2, we're skipping ahead of the entire story here, but we read that Jonah prays unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in the country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, and here's why. He said, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And so in Jonah's mindset, here is God coming down to visit Jonah and to tell him, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh, and I want you to cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me, and I'm ready to judge that. And so Jonah has this concept of God, that if I don't go, then God is going to judge Nineveh. And if I do go, and if I warn Nineveh, then Nineveh is going to cry out and repent, and God is going to repent against the evil that he desired to do against them. And so I'm going to control the situation, and I'm going to do things my own way. And I'm going to make up my own agenda and my own will. And I'm going to execute my desires. And my desires is that I am not going to do what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do it my own way. And I'm going to go the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. And then I'm going to stand back on the horizon somewhere, or I'm going to read it in the paper somewhere of how that fire fell upon Nineveh just like it fell upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm going to stand back with a smugness upon my face and a smile upon my face and just some you deserve so in my heart. And I'm just going to let it all be. and I'm going to get my way in all of this. You understand that Jonah was actually happy to hear that God was ready to judge Nineveh. Jonah's prayers and Jonah's thoughts were probably more along the lines of, it's about time. And that's the way that too many people think when it comes to God. And so I'm here today to tell you that Jonah did not understand and did not know God near as much as he thought that he knew God. Let me remind you that he was a prophet of God and that he had been used of God to declare the word and the voice of God. And so therefore, his mindset is, I'm going to do it my way, and because that I don't preach, then judgment is going to come and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And so the first point today is that man does not know God near as well as he thinks that he does. For Jonah had great difficulty accepting the fact that God loved the Gentiles just as much as he loved the Jews, and the fact that God loved the cruel and the oppressive Assyrians just as much as he loved Jonah himself. He did not comprehend that. And I could get really long-winded right here. Praise God. I'm going to try to stick to my task today. But I have a strong belief that we do not understand God near as much as we perceive or state that we do so many different times. I do not believe that we understand the love of God near as much as he is. The Bible teaches us that God is love. And the Bible teaches us that while we were yet sinners, that Christ died for the ungodly. When you were in your sin, when you were unlovable, God loved you. When you were unwilling to return to reciprocate that love unto God, God reached out and God reached down to you. And so oftentimes our minds are in a fog when it comes to different individuals that are in this world. And there are those that receive the grace of God and receive the love of God that contradicts our opinions and our ways. And there are times that we feel like it should go this way or that way, and it doesn't necessarily happen that way. And we see that God begins to reach down, and God begins to move, and God begins to do, and God begins to bless, and we don't quite understand it. And if we're not very careful, we can be like Jonah, and we could say, who is Nineveh to receive the repentance or the mercy or the grace of God? And so I just feel like I'm not going to operate in that way, because in my mind, they deserve judgment. In my mind, they deserve ill will. In my mind, they could deserve a good strong hand from God. And so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Maybe God has talked to you, dealt with you, and said, look, here's what you need to do. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. Amen. How many times? Let's just go to the book of James here real quick. And let's see where James said in James chapter number 1. He said that we must be doers of the word and not hearers only, because in doing so we deceive only ourselves. Amen. You understand that hearing the word of God goes far further than just hearing it preached over a desk somewhere. Because there are times that you get into your Bible reading and God begins to deal with you concerning a certain subject. And what do? You shut it down. You clamp up. You turn away. You're not ready to face that. You're not ready to deal with that. You're not ready to take it into consideration. And so you just quickly read past that. But the word of God keeps coming back and bugging you. The word of God keeps coming back and poking you. Amen. The word of God keeps coming back and
tapping you on the chest. Word of God keeps bringing back to your memory. You're driving down the road and all of a sudden that memory comes back unto you. And you're thinking to yourself, no. And God's telling you, look, you need to go rectify the situation. You need to go fix the situation. You need to go help the situation. But the natural man's natural ways is, you know what? They deserve what they're getting. They deserve the hand of God against them. They deserve a few things, and it's not up to me to do it. If they want God, they know where God is. They know where the church is, and they know where the altar is, and they can come back to the altar. It's not my place to do that. And God is saying, hey, Jonah, no, it's you I'm trying to help. Yes, I'm going to talk to Nineveh and I'm going to deal with Nineveh. But you see, I'm taking the situation and I'm combining it together. And I'm wanting to help you and work on some things that are in you. You don't understand God's love just as near as much as you think that you do. And there's times when God says something and you think to yourself, you know what, I'm going to be the dispenser of mercy. And I'm not going to give the mercy out like God is asking me to give out. Or I'm going to be the dispenser of grace. And I'm not going to offer the grace like it needs to be offered. Or like, amen, God's dealing with me to offer. You know what? They need to come and they need to repent. And they need to get right. And they need to do. And I'm not going to be the one that reaches out to them and tries to pave the way back to the house of God. Amen. This is the way of Jonah. And God is telling Jonah, I don't expect you to understand what I'm trying to do with Nineveh. I don't expect you to understand, amen, why I'm even reaching out to Nineveh. Because Jonah said, I knew that this was going to happen. I knew that when I came unto Nineveh and began to declare the judgment of God, that they were going to get right, and they were going to repent, and you, God, were going to forgive them, and we're going to walk away. And I didn't want that to happen. That's what's happening. And the natural man is thinking that he knows a better way. And so the natural man is declaring, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be the one that offers the olive leaf, the olive tree. I'm not going to be the one that does that. All right? And so this is where that Jonah is. And Jonah is going to decide, because the natural way of the natural man decides what he's going to do. And it does not necessarily line up with the will of God. It doesn't necessarily line up, amen, with the mind of God, because it doesn't contemplate or consider the mind of God. The natural man has his own natural ways, and he thinks according to his ways. He's going to still, quote unquote, try to walk in the Spirit. But the carnal man can't walk in the Spirit. The carnal mind is not going to fulfill, amen, the ways of the Spirit, but it's going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so the first thing that Jonah does is like, Nineveh is north, I'm headed south. And so what does the Bible say that Jonah did? The Bible says that Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Now, we're going to stop right there. So here is Jonah, and God is dealing with Jonah, just like God deals with every one of us. Whether he deals with you over and through the preached word of God that comes over the pulpit, whether he deals with you through the reading of your Bible on a daily basis, whether he deals with you in moments of prayer when you come to the church and pray, or whether you stay at home and you pray, whether it's when you're driving down the road, whether it's when you're trying to sleep and God keeps bringing some things back to your remembrance. Here's Jonah. He's being dealt with by God. And the first thing that he does is he gets up from the place that God is dealing with him, and he removes himself from the place that God is dealing with. You see, sometimes our prayer life only goes to the point that we feel the friction against God, and God begins to deal with some about some things, and then suddenly, I got other things to do. I got places to go. I got people to see. And so you remove yourself because it doesn't feel comfortable. and you remove yourself from the place that God is talking to you about. You turn the radio on, begin to listen to the news so you don't have to listen to God. You pick your iPad up at night or whatever and begin to thumb through and begin to flip through it so that you can try to get that voice that's in your mind, the voice of God that's there talking to you and dealing with you and telling you, hey, some things need to change. You remove yourself from the place that God is dealing with you about. And so Jonah gets up from that place that God is talking to him. And he goes down to the seashore. And he begins to question all of the captains around there. And he said, hey, where's this boat going? Well, this one's going this way. Okay, thank you. Where's this boat going? And he finally founds a place. And this man says, we're headed to Tarshish. And he said, all right. And then the Bible said that he got up and he fled that place. And the Bible ends that clause like this. And he said, to flee from the presence of God. Here is the prophet that is fleeing from the presence of God. Why? Because I know God's going to keep dealing with me about some things. And I need to get as far away from it as I possibly can. Do you not understand that that is the grace of God? The Bible teaches us that it is the grace of God that leads us unto repentance. You say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Not yet. But there is the natural way of a natural man, and it doesn't coincide with the ways of God. And so here is Jonah leaving the presence of God. I'm not going to read my Bible like that. I was over here in this book and God began to deal with me, and I think I'm going to flip over to this book and I'm just going to go over here and I'm going to read this. I'm going to choose some other time to pray or what. I'm not going to the church to pray. I'm just going to pray in my car. And you know that praying in your car doesn't, amen, do the same thing for you as finding a simple place that you can pray all by yourself. But what you are doing is the power of God, the Spirit of God, and the conviction of God, in other words, the mercy of God and the grace of God, is constantly dealing with you, and you're saying no, and you're trying to get away from it as far as you can because God is dealing with you about this. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth, because while I'm speaking this here today, hey man, you got that little voice going off in your head. And that same situation has come back unto you. And it's just like that little angel that's sitting up there saying, I told you so. I've been trying to talk to you about this, but since you didn't want to listen to me, I thought I'd talk to the preacher about it. And I held him captive for 700 miles. And so God's been dealing with you about some things. God's been talking to you about some things. And you're not ready to receive it. You're not ready to hear it. You're not ready to be obedient to it. And you're just like the natural man that's looking in the mirror every day and seeing what manner of man that he is. Amen. And taking a look at all of that and saying, you know what? I'm not ready to change that. I'm just going to go do my own thing. And you turn around and you walk away forgetting what manner of man that you were. That's the grace of God that's talking to you, dealing with you, trying to help you. But I want you to tell you today that it's not only trying to help you, it's trying to help somebody else, because God has a plan for you. God has a way for you. God has things for you. Amen. But you can't see that in the natural way of the natural man. Praise God. And so the Bible teaches us that Jonah got up and he left the place where God was dealing with him about. He began to question around and he found somebody that was leaving. And then the Bible said that he paid the fare. You know why? Because you're not ever going to get on the devil's rides in his fairgrounds for free. It's going to cost you something. As a matter of fact, it's going to cost you a lot. And the Bible teaches us that he paid to get out of the will of God. He paid to get out of the will of God. And some people have a hard time paying tithe or giving offering to the church. And you're going to pay somewhere or another. And that's what Jonah was doing. He was paying a price to get out of the will of God. Now I want you to notice some other things right here. that in paying the price to leave the presence of God, because that's what it said, that he left the presence of God, that in paying the price to get out of the presence of God, the Bible said, first of all, that he got on a boat to go down to Tarshish, because you never stay even. You never just coast along on life. And when you get out of the will of God, when you begin to work against the things of God, when you begin to not be obedient to the things of God, it's nothing but a downhill trail from there. And the Bible said that he went down to Tarshish. The Bible could have just as easily said that he went up to Tarshish. Because where he was, Tarshish could have been to the north instead of to the south. But wherever it was, the Bible said that he went down to Tarshish. And in going down to Tarshish, he paid the fare. You're going to pay to leave the house of God. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some scars in life. It's going to cost you some heartaches. It's going to cost you, amen, some bad memories. It's going to cost you some, that when you finally come around to yourself, you're going to think, why did I ever do that? It's not cheap. How many people do we know that have left the house of God and their marriages have busted up and they've lost everything that they've had out there in the world? You say, well, I know some people, they went out there and they prospered. I'm just going to tell you, you give them a few years of time and eternity and they're going to wish to God that they wouldn't have had two nickels to rub together, because at that point in time, they would have really understood that they needed God. And so not only did he pay the fare to go down to Tarshish, but the Bible said that he, here just the natural way of a natural man thinking to himself, all I'm doing is just leaving the church. All I'm doing is just leaving the presence of God. All I'm doing is just leaving that building. All that I'm doing is just leaving those people. All that I'm doing is just doing it my own way. He not only went down to Tarshish, but the Bible said that he went down into the bottom of the boat. And there he was in the bottom of the boat. And I want you to know that his rebellion, his natural ways of the natural man was able to change the course of the weather. Because the Bible says that God sent a storm upon the seas. And I can just imagine, here's the captain of this boat headed down to Tarshish. And he's thinking, now I just checked the stars last night. And I just checked weather.com this morning. And it said that we weren't supposed to have any rain. It said that the chance of rain was like 2%. And look at these thunderclouds that are blowing in. I mean, surely the weatherman's not that far off. But here comes these thunderclouds blowing in, and the waves begin to pick up, and the rains begin to fall, and things begin to happen, and the boat begins to sink. And here's people that are bailing out water, and they know what's getting ready to happen. And here they begin to question, who did wrong? Who did something that would stir up the gods that this would come upon us? Now, we go back down into the bottom of the boat, because in the bottom of the boat, there is somewhere between about this much and this much wood, this much plank from something that's a whole lot deeper than that. And I just wonder if Jonah could have been able to see through the bottom of the boat, if he would have been able to see that thing that was swimming around and following them. Wherever the boat was being tossed, and if that would have kind of enlightened him and helped him to understand a few things. And then finally somebody came down, and here's Jonah being tossed to and fro. He can't sleep very well. And somebody cries out and says, oh, sleeper, why are you sleeping? Rise up. And they began to talk and began to say some things. And Jonah's thinking to himself, look, here I am. I've left the presence of God. I'm going down to Tarshish. I'm in the bottom of a boat. And the storm is kicking and getting ready to drown us. It can't get a whole lot worse than this. How much further down can I go in life? Well, we're getting ready to find out, Jonah. Thanks for asking.
Because somebody says, oh, we don't understand why all of this is happening. Jonah said, well, I'll tell you why this is happening. It's because of me. Because I left the presence of God. And I paid the fare to do this. And God had told me that I needed to go do some things, that I needed to correct some things, that I needed to go preach some things, that I needed to do some things. Amen. I'm talking to some of you right now. Amen. Maybe I needed to get rid of some things in my life, get rid of some things in my house that God's been constantly dealing with me about. And every time God deals with me about it, I turn around, I walk away from, I justify why it's not that bad. I justify why it ain't wrong. I justify why everything is fine. It's okay. It's going to be okay. I justify my opinion. I justify my feelings. I justify my expressions. I justify my belief system. Amen. I know what's going to happen. If I go do something, amen, then they're going to repent and they're going to come to God and God's going to have forgiveness and stuff. Hello, somebody. Then what are you really saying? What are you really saying then? I'm going to tell you what Jonah was saying. Jonah was saying, you deserve to go to hell. Yeah, that's what Jonah was saying. Jonah said, if I go to that city and I start preaching to them, they're going to repent and God's going to forgive them. That's not the way that I see it. The way that I see it is they attacked my city. And the way that I see it is they can just be lost. They can just suffer the consequences and the judgments of God. That's their call. God is saying, I want to fix something in them, and I want to fix something in you. And that's where you are. And you're thinking to yourself, how much lower can it go? I'm telling you, it can go a whole lot lower. Because the natural man and his natural ways don't coincide with God, the spiritual man, and the spiritual ways. It's not in man, Jeremiah said, to be obedient and to do the things and to do the ways of God. It's not in man. That's just your natural mindset. That's just your natural way. Let me talk to somebody here this morning. Amen. Because I've been there. I've walked a mile in those shoes before. Amen. But it takes a long time being in the presence of God. And God continually poking you. It shouldn't be this way. But when you're hard-headed and stubborn like I have been. Amen. Sometimes it takes a while. But God just wrestling and moving and continually prodding and stuff. And finally you pick up the olive tree and you go and you do something about it. And you know what? They may not ever respond to it, but I'm telling you what, I feel a whole lot better after it's all said and done. And how many times have we all been there that God's been wrestling with us and God's been talking to us about some things, but we have that justification about us and we're not willing to listen and we're not willing to be obedient, and we can see it in the natural mirror and the natural man, amen, with our natural ways, but we're not willing and ready to listen to the Spirit of God as God is doing things within inside of us, and God has said, look, there's a whole lot more that I want to do here, but you got to take care of some things. I could take you to the New Testament and I can show you a revival that would come to Nineveh at some point in time. God, not necessarily Nineveh, but to the Gentiles in Acts chapter number 10. Amen. That before Jonah could ever see it, God said, I got my eyes upon the Gentiles and I'm going to establish a precedent and a principle here right now. You don't understand it. I don't expect you to understand it. You're not going to understand it in your lifetime, but there's coming a time when blood is going to be shed at Calvary's cross. And that's going to mesmerize and confuse a multitude. I didn't ask you to understand it, but I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to give my life for the sinners and for the sin of this world. And I am going to choose to save those that would believe. And so Jonah confesses and he said, well, the issue here is that I have been disobedient to God. And so if you will just cast me over, God will take care of the rest. Now, this is where it could get deep. And if we're going to beat the Baptist, I'm going to have to hurry. But this is where it could get deep. I want you to understand
what has just been said. Here is a quote-unquote spiritual man by the name of Jonah that could care less about sinners. But here is a boat full of carnal, worldly men that care about one. We need to be careful, church, lest we begin to think of ourselves more than we begin to think about sinners. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, and we stand in that place to reconcile the world unto God, to deliver the message, to offer them the saving grace, the hope of salvation. But yet there are people out there in the world that seem to care about others. Sometimes I think that the way that this church has stepped up within the past few days is just phenomenal. But so just let me say with a broad brush, with a very broad brush, that there are times that there's people in the world that seem to be more concerned about hurting people, not hurting as in physically hurting people, but helping people that are hurting, sometimes even more than the church is. And we just got to be careful of that. We can't be so holy and so high-minded that we're not willing to lay down prestige, name, pride, to help see somebody saved. It ought to do something to you physically, emotionally, and spiritually to see sinners out there that are on their way to a lost eternity, to spend forever in a lake of fire. It ought to affect us. It ought to affect us greatly. It ought to affect us to the place that when outreach is called on Saturday, that we get up and make it happen. It ought to affect us to the place that just during the week that we are listening, and when you hear somebody's problems, you got a key that you can give them and tell them to put it on their refrigerator so that they would be reminded of the love of God and the help of God. That's the duty, the desires of God for the church. And so we see that these men, so we look, Jonah, we don't want to throw you overboard. And we just pray that the gods would suffice, that they would be okay with this. And it didn't happen. And they knew that they were going to drown and they were going under. And so finally they consented and they said, all right. And so they tossed Jonah over. And just when Jonah had thought that he had gone to the bottom of life, he realized that it could get a whole lot worse. Because now he is swallowed by a fish, a great fish, a whale, whatever. He's swallowed. And to the bottom of the sea he goes. And there in that fish's belly, he begins to find an altar to pray. He could not pray through when God began to deal with him. But now in the lowly parts of life, God dealing with him, he begins to find an altar and he begins to pray. And he begins to say, God, I'm willing to change. I want to change my mindset. I'm going to change my thought process. I'm going to change my motives. I'm going to change my spiritual concept, because there's some that say, well, you know what? I just don't believe that that is necessary. And here's God. And you flee in the presence of God. But it just seems like everywhere you turn, here's God again. God won't leave you alone about some things. And finally, we get to the bottom of life and we say, okay, God. And the Bible says that Jonah said, from the belly of hell,
I cried unto the Lord. Does God have to take you to the belly of hell to get your attention? Does God have to take you to the belly of hell before you begin to realize these things that you're fooling around with, playing with, talking with, dealing with, things that you won't do? Does God have to take you to the belly of hell before you finally come to the place in life that you say, okay, God, I'm ready to listen? I don't care if you drive a brand spanking new Ford F-250 and you live in a house of 5,000 square feet sitting on the side of a mountain with a lakeside down at the bottom of that, or however that you deem and want it to be. I don't care if you have all of that and you got over $1 million in your account. You're a beggar. You're poor if you don't have the Spirit of God. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Who cares if you can make 7-digit figures a year if you lose your soul? And so down in the belly of hell, Jonah begins to pray, all right, God, I'm ready to listen. And I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do. And God said, all right, we'll start with Nineveh. Oh, back to Nineveh again. Yes, sir. Jonah said, all right, I'll go. I'll go and I'll preach. And so God caused that fish to become sick. And he came up close enough to the shore that he basically puked Jonah out on the shore. And the Bible says that Jonah got up and he began to run to the will of God. He was tired of running from God. And he was ready to run to God. And so he ran. And the Lord said, you tell Nineveh that in 40 days, if things haven't changed, in 40 days I'm going to destroy the city. Jonah all of a sudden has a revelation. 40 days does not start with me dragging my feet and moping until I get to Nineveh. 40 days doesn't start with me just sitting around taking my time. 40 days starts when I get to that place to do the will of God. You can hold on just as long as you want to hold on, but 40 days doesn't start until you become totally obedient to the Word of God. And we could talk about the number 40 in the Bible. It's significant. It's used many, 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 many times. 40 days and 40 nights. Moses' entire life was divided into three quadrants of 40. 40 in Pharaoh's house. 40 on the backside of a wilderness. 40 in the wilderness. There's 40. It's everywhere. It's 40. And so Jonah's got this understanding as we stand here this morning. And Jonah runs to do the will of God. And when he gets to the city, he begins to cry out. He said, thus saith the Lord, repent or perish. And if you don't repent, God's going to send judgment. And God's going to destroy this city. And the people began to cry out. And the king stood up and he said, I'm calling an entire fast. Everybody's going to fast. He said, even your cattle, your oxen, everybody's fasting. You're not eating. You're not drinking water. Nothing. And so they proclaimed the fast. And they put on sackcloth and ash. And the Lord heard their cry. And the Lord spared and saved Nineveh. Jonah, you still got a few things to learn. At least you're on the right track. I just come to talk to you this morning about the natural way of the natural man. I just feel so deeply in my spirit that many, many of you here today, God's been dealing with you about some things in your life. And you've been like Jonah, fleeing that place, not becoming comfortable in that place, not becoming familiar with that place. Just feels like every time you get to that level, God starts dealing with you, and you don't like that. There's a natural way of a natural man. And so you get up and you flee from the conviction of God, the presence of God. And in reality, you're paying a fare. You're paying a price. You're paying a price. And that price involves going down. Down. Down to Tarshish. Down in the bottom of the boat. Down to the bottom of the sea. Down to the belly of hell. But yet on the other side of the story, the other side of the coin, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, the steps of a good man are ordered by God, and he delighteth in his way. You see, that's what God's really doing. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And here you were at some place and point in time seeking after God. God's directing you. God's giving you direction. Now you're at the place to be led of the Spirit or to let the natural way of the natural man lead you astray. The Bible said the steps of a man are ordered of the Lord. Steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. But over in the book of Proverbs, he says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Seemeth right unto a man. There's the natural way. And then the Bible says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So take me back to the Word of God. Take me back to the presence of God. Take me back to the altar of God. And let me get this mentality of my way out of the way so I can fulfill his way. Amen. These altars are open here this morning. Praise God. Won't you let God come talk to you? Won't you let God talk to you? Let God deal with you.